Amen. God bless you, choir, and thank you. The words of that song remind me of what we heard from Polycarp's mouth a couple of Sundays ago when we were considering the church at Ephesus. And Polycarp, the pastor of that church, had been arrested and bound and was about to be burned at the stake and told to recant. He said, "Why would I ever recant of my faith in Christ? He's been good to me for 86 years. Why would I ever turn my back on him?" Praise the Lord. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Brother Chris. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I want to share with you a message this morning entitled, "How Can I Please God on Wednesday After Election Tuesday?" If you're joining us online, I hope that you have got your copy of God's Word. And also following along as we think about how can I please God on Wednesday after Election Tuesday. I'm so grateful and thankful for all of your prayers and all of your concern for me and my family over the past 2 weeks when we were quarantined due to the COVID coronavirus pandemic encouragement, instructions, requirements. And I'm certainly grateful also and thankful for Brother Ronnie and Brother Jim Gatliff, Brother Eric Velasquez, Brother Chris, all filling in for me at various times. And again, I'm grateful and thankful for you in being in the house of the Lord this morning and also joining us online in allowing me a week to delay returning to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, next Sunday morning, we'll return to our study there and consider the church at Sardis. But today, I want to speak to you from God's Word, specifically as it relates to how can I please God on Wednesday after Election Tuesday. There are pastors all across our country this morning who are sharing similar messages if they have not done so already. And I want to begin with just a few presuppositions, if I may. Praise the Lord for all of you who have already voted. But if you haven't voted, I hope and pray that on Tuesday, your second priority will be to vote. After your first priority of reading God's Word and praying, to make it your priority on Tuesday to vote. And if for some reason, anyone within the sound of my voice this morning, in the room or online, if for some reason you've decided not to vote, can I just beg you to reconsider? Can I encourage you to reconsider? I'm not going to stand before you this morning and tell you that not voting is a sin. But I'm going to tell you from my perspective and of my opinion that it would be wrong not to vote. Say, "Brother Richard, how can I vote for either of these two options?" I get it. I understand. We are in a less than ideal situation. And if that is your feeling this morning, I want to encourage you over today, tomorrow, and before you vote, seek out online the Republican platform and read it, the Democratic platform and read it. And then read your Bible and see which lines up better. And then vote for a platform. If you can't vote for a person, vote for a platform. Vote for policy. And can I also say to you, by the way, if I were a homeowner in Raines County, I would encourage you to vote for an increase in teacher salaries in Raines County and for Raines ISD and for the measures that we can take that would provide such. And then finally, can I also say, just as a presupposition this morning, I am 100% confident, because of what I believe about the end of time. Hear me this morning, brothers and sisters. I am 100% confident. There's not a doubt in my mind that regardless of who wins on Tuesday, the sun's going to come up on Wednesday. That's true. Now, if the Lord were to take me to heaven before then, I may not see it. But for those of you who are still here, the sun will come up on Wednesday morning. Jesus will still be on his throne, and he will return when his timing is perfect, regardless of who wins our election. This morning, we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And here's the reason why. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, you have young Timothy pastoring the church in Ephesus, the same church that John the Revelator pastored, that we considered in Revelation chapter 2, that was then pastored by Polycarp. And so Timothy is pastoring this church, and he is encountering some false teachers. He is encountering some heretics within the church. And Paul wrote this letter to him. And you will find that situation in its entirety and described in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And Paul even named two individuals who had fallen to this false teaching, that had subscribed to this heresy. And if you'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, you'll even see again that he names them by name. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom, and here are the two individuals, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. And so that is the context of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And so Paul is writing, and he is going to say to Timothy, that we're going to see this morning, he is going to say, in light of these false teachers and in light of these ones who have decided to follow them, here's how you, Timothy, can please God and lead your church to please God in light of their false teaching, in light of their heresy. And while the context is different from the first century to the 21st century, I would suggest to you this morning that the application is the same. The application is the same. As it was for them, it is true for us. If you are taking notes this morning, I just want to say this as we begin. I can please God on Wednesday after Election Tuesday by praying personally, living peacefully, and evangelizing passionately. Let me say that again. Praying personally, living peacefully, and evangelizing passionately. If you have found 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I invite you this morning to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word and follow along in your copy of the Scriptures or on the screens behind me as I read 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 and through verse 6. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you and praise you as we have already seen and understood that nothing will catch you by surprise, nothing will catch you off guard on Wednesday. And Lord, thank you for your word today, for its application in the first century and in the 21st century. And so over for these next few moments, Lord, would you please give us understanding? And then, Father, I pray that your Spirit would apply this word to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. I can please God on Wednesday after Election Tuesday by, number one, praying personally. Praying personally. There in verse 1, we've already addressed, therefore, in light of the false teachers, in light of those who have left the faith, I would say to you this morning, in light of those who vote for President Trump, in light of those who vote for Vice President Biden, regardless of who wins on Tuesday, or whenever we find out who has won, I exhort you, first of all. Notice, brothers and sisters, not second of all, not third of all, not when you are at your wit's end, not when you don't have any other recourse, not as your last hope, but first of all. Do you see that? Of most importance, what is it that we do? We pray. We pray. Paul says, I exhort first of all. And then he uses at least three words that essentially mean the same thing. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions. Now, yes, there are slight differences, but his point is to emphasize, to show the importance, to not just pray and not just to pray, but to pray. It would be like me saying to you, I invite you, I ask you, I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you, make sure that you vote on Tuesday if you haven't already. What am I doing? I'm essentially making a request of you. But I've used multiple terms with slightly different meanings to emphasize my desire and my request that you vote. I exhort, first of all, that supplications and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks. Brothers and sisters, do you know that even in 2020, we have so much for which to be thankful? I would suggest to you this morning that we live in the greatest nation on planet Earth. Notice I didn't say the perfect nation. We have our flaws. because we are made up of flawed people. But I would suggest to you that we are the greatest nation on the planet today. Brother Richard, how can you say that? Because I've been to plenty others. I've been to plenty others that don't have what we have. And so I say, brothers and sisters, we have much for which to be thankful. And can I also just say that we ought to be thankful? And this is really going to shock some of you. But we ought to be thankful that we have two options for which to vote. We've got, there are plenty of places that they don't have but one option. And yet God, in His goodness, of which we sang about just a moment ago, we have two options for which to vote for the next president of this great nation. And so we have much for which to be thankful. And I exhort, first of all, that supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men and all women. And so, yes, God calls us and calls us to pray for those around us who are like us and those around us who are not like us. Those who will vote like us and those who will not vote like us. And then to pray personally. Or you may use the word this morning specifically for kings and all who are in authority. For our leadership and for us specifically, our president. And I'm just going to say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, if who wins on Tuesday determines whether or not you pray, the problem is with you. Let me say that again. If you can't pray for whomever is elected on Tuesday, the problem is with you, and you've got a problem with the Lord. Say, Brother Richard, haven't you heard what Vice President Biden said the other day? Doesn't matter. Brother Richard, did you hear what President Trump did? Doesn't matter. What either of those two men did do or say matters not as to whether I'm called and will pray for them personally. Keep in mind, and oh, how we often forget. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy not long after he had been in a Roman prison cell put there by Nero, the diabolical, evil to the core, Nero. Brother Richard, you mean the Nero who bound first century Christians alive and then sewed them up inside animal skins and threw them to the lions? Yes, that Nero. You mean the Nero that covered first century Christians in tar and bound them to what we would call utility poles and set them on fire to light the night? Yes, the same Nero. You mean the Nero that eventually executed Paul and eventually executed Peter? Yes, the same Nero. And Paul says, pray for him. So please don't lecture me about how awful our candidates are today and how we can't pray for them when Paul says pray for Nero. Nero makes President Trump and Vice President Biden look like angels, brothers and sisters. what will we pray? First and foremost, I will pray for their salvation. First and foremost, I will pray for their salvation. You say, Brother Richard, you don't think President Trump is saved? I do not. Let's be clear this morning about what it means to be saved. And what I'm about to say, you can think as to whatever is the opposite, and you can fill in the blank with that if you so choose. But being Republican does not mean saved. Being conservative does not mean saved. Being capitalist does not mean saved. Being pro-military does not mean saved. Being patriotic does not mean saved. Even being pro-life doesn't mean being saved, brothers and sisters. I want to hear from President Trump or from Vice President Biden, Jesus Christ is my personal Savior and Lord, and He's the only way to heaven, eternal life, and forgiveness of sin. When I hear that from them or from you, then I'll know you're saved. But Brother Richard, just this past week, I read in an interview that President Trump gave that he would call himself a non-denominational Christian. And so would every Jehovah's Witness and every Mormon. And yet, they're not. And so, yes, I will pray for President Trump's salvation. Or I will pray for President Biden's salvation. Secondly, I'll pray for their protection. I'll pray for their protection, their family's protection. And I will pray for guidance, for wisdom, for the Lord to surround him with godly, Christ-like counselors. But brothers, sisters, whoever my president is in 2021, I know that I can please God when I pray for them personally. Number two, I can please God on Wednesday after Election Tuesday by living peacefully. By living peacefully. Verse 2. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now, I want you to know, I am preaching to the preacher in the mirror this morning. And I'm also preaching to the people in the pew. On Wednesday and following, we need to be less heard and more seen. Less heard and more seen. Look how Paul describes this peaceful life. It's quiet. In all godliness and reverence. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to be loud about Jesus. We need to be loud about the gospel. We need, I would even say, to be loud about the body of Christ. But you know what? We need to be quieter about our opinions and our preferences. You know why? Because my opinion and your opinion are just like armpits. Everybody has one and they all stink. I mean to my red, brothers and sisters. What if we became as passionate and as enthusiastic and loud about Jesus as we have been President Trump and the Trump train and MAGA? And because we're not, hear me, we'll answer to God for that. And what if we hated the devil as much as we hate the Democrats? We'll answer to God for that. And to my blue brothers and sisters, what if you were as passionate as an enthusiastic about getting President Trump out of office as you were about sharing the gospel? You're going to answer to God for that. And what if you hated abortion and same-sex marriage and the assault on religious freedom as much as you hated the sin in your life? You'll answer to God for that. Have I offended everyone? Awesome. And brothers and sisters, what that may mean for many of us is taking a break for an indefinite period of time after the election from social media. And can I just say to you, can I be candid to you this morning that in the recent weeks I was called on the carpet and had to give an account to some church members about some social media posts that I had made, and rightfully so. But on Wednesday, after Election Tuesday, the body of Christ, if you want to please God, live a peaceable, quiet, godly, reverent life. Verse 3, you cannot put it any clearer. This, what is this? Praying personally, living peacefully. This is good and acceptable, and your translation may even say pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. How can I please God on Wednesday after Election Tuesday by praying personally and living peacefully? And those two actions are explicit in the text. But I have a third point that is implicit from the text, beginning in verse 4, and that is evangelize passionately. You see, because regardless of who wins on Tuesday, the world is still going to be full of lost people. And the body of Christ is still going to have the responsibility to share the gospel. And look at what Paul says in verse 4, talking about God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. He desires all men, Republican and Democrat, red and blue, black and white, male and female, blue collar and white collar. He desires all of them to come to the saving knowledge of faith in Christ. Is it just going to dawn on them one day? Oh, the light bulb goes off. It's going to require the body of Christ evangelizing passionately the people that God put in your path for the specific purpose. And make no mistake about it, there's only one way to be saved. Verse 5, for there is one God, only one God, and one mediator. That picture of a mediator is a reconciler, what we might think of as a bridge that's bringing together holy God and unholy man. The only mediator is the man, Christ Jesus. It's not voting for a particular candidate. It's not having a certain education. It's not having a certain bank account. It's not living a good enough life because we can't live a good enough life. No one can. But evangelizing passionately because God desires for all men to be saved. He has made a way for all men to be saved. And then in verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It is time for men and women to put their faith and trust in Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, what happens on Wednesday? What happens going forward? Oh, I assure you, the election of 2020 will be one that we will never forget. But make no mistake about it, if you want to please God, and it's not even a question as to whether or not this really will please God, because that's what the text says. If you want to please God, that I encourage you to pray personally, live peacefully, and evangelize passionately. I want to conclude this morning by sharing with you something that I saw this past week. I'm not sure if it is original with him. It may very well be. Dr. Bart Barber is the pastor of First Baptist Church in Farmersville, Texas. Located on Highway 380 between Greenville and Denton. He is a friend of mine, a personal friend of mine. He has been a faithful pastor at First Baptist Church Farmersville for 20 plus years. He is a native of the state of Arkansas. Please don't hold that against him. But he, again, is a friend of mine. He is a godly man. And this past week, he shared what he simply called the Barber Pledge. And I want to share it with you. It is specific application to what you have heard this morning. He says, in January, if the Lord tarries, we will inaugurate a president of the United States, whoever it may be. Number one. I will pray for him sincerely. And the passage of Scripture that goes with that, what we just read. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, whether that be President Trump or President Biden. I commit to pray for him sincerely. Number two, on every occasion, when I can, I will praise good things he does. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Talking to believers, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I have no problem praising President Trump. I have no problem praising President Biden when I believe they have done something that is good. Number three, I will look for the opportunity to pass over criticism of bad things he does. And oh, how we are good to nitpick and criticize. God's word tells us in Philippians 2, 14 and 15, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I will intentionally look for, if I don't need to comment, I won't need to comment. But number four, where I must criticize, I will do so with civility. James 5, 9, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. I don't like to hear criticisms from church members, but I can assure you I hear plenty of them. And so I will be slow to criticize my president. And when I must, I will do it with civility. Number five, I will not tell jokes that are demeaning of him, nor will I encourage others in sharing such jokes with me. And number six, listen to this, brothers and sisters. I will not slander him by listening to, sharing, tweeting, or posting conspiracy theories about him. Regardless of who it is. Because Titus 3 says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. And then finally, number seven, whenever I can do so without disobeying God, I will obey him. Because Romans 13, 1 and 2 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever exists, the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And by the way, when Paul wrote Romans 13, it was under the same leadership that he wrote 1 Timothy 3, the Holy Spirit, and the emperor was Nero. Brothers and sisters, we'll never forget the election of 2020. But I hope and pray that we please God after the election of 2020. And may the body of Christ be the hands and feet of Christ before a watching world. Let's pray together. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, this morning, if you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, today I invite you, I implore you, I beg you to repent of your sin and to call on the name of the Lord to save you. If today, this morning, you are ready to answer that call of faith, in just a moment, as we're standing and singing, I'll be here standing at the front, and I would love to welcome you today, love to counsel with you today, love to pray with you today. And to let you know what is necessary, the next step to putting your faith and trust in Christ. Maybe you are here this morning and you are a guest and God has led you to Emory Baptist Church to visit, and you feel like that God is leading you to Emory Baptist Church to join. Our invitation will be for you this morning. Love to welcome you, love to welcome your family. If you know Christ, you follow through with believer's baptism. Maybe this morning that God has spoken to you through his word and you just simply want to come this morning kneeling here at the front praying. Praying for Tuesday, praying for yourself on Tuesday and after Tuesday. I want you to know that will be welcome also. But more than anything else, Lord, I hope and pray, brothers and sisters, that we'll be committed to pleasing the Lord personally and corporately in the days and the weeks and the months to come. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for how good you are and how good you are to us. Thankful that your word does not leave us in the dark, but gives us very clear instructions about how to please you. And so I pray that that is our heart on Wednesday and following. May we, Father, be, because of your word and its prominence in our life, I pray, Lord, that we would be faithful to pray personally and live peacefully and evangelize passionately, because that will be pleasing in your sight, Lord. And as followers of Christ, that's what we want to do, to please you. We commit this invitation to you, Lord, praying that you will convict of unbelief and convict of sin and lead to righteousness. And we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, would you come this morning, responding publicly on the very first stand?